Hello and welcome to the February IASB Update Podcast. My name is Claire Short and I am part of the communications team at the IFRS Foundation. Today I am joined by Hans Hulvorst and Sue Lloyd, Chair and Vice Chair of the IASB respectively. Before we turn our attention to the February board meeting, which was held on the 16th and 17th of February, let's look at what was discussed at a supplementary board meeting that took place earlier in the month. Sue, what was the purpose of this meeting and what happened as a result?
So in the first week of February, as you said, we held an extra board meeting, and that was to discuss whether we should consider making a change to the amendment that we made in May last year to our leases standard IFRS 16. And that amendment that we made last year makes it easier for lessees to account for COVID-19 related rent concessions, such as rent holidays and temporary rent reductions. And that concession was subject to some particular sort of qualifying conditions. And that included that any reduction in the lease payments affected only payments that originally were due up until the 30th of June 2021 and no later than that. And when we made that amendment last year, we felt like that would be long enough to cover the immediate effects of the pandemic. However, we've recently heard from some stakeholders in the preparer community that lessees are being given rent concessions that extend beyond that June 2021 date because of the ongoing pervasiveness of the pandemic. And that was something we hadn't anticipated when we made that original amendment. So at the meeting that we held, we decided to propose extending the application of that amendment. So basically that relief would be extended to apply to reductions in lease payments that were due up until the end of June 2022. So basically proposing a one-year extension of that relief for lessees.
Thank you, Sue. The board has published an exposure draft proposing this change. The comment period is short, so we can get this done quickly to help on a timely basis. Comments close on the 25th of February, so at the time of this recording, there's still a little time left for stakeholders to share their thoughts. A supplementary board meeting is due to be held in early March to discuss the feedback received. Details will be published on ifrs.org as they are confirmed. Let's look now at the agenda for the February board meeting. Topics discussed include the comprehensive review of the IFRS for SME standard, the upcoming agenda consultation, and the financial instruments with characteristics of equity project. Sue, can you fill us in on the updates with the FICE project?
Sure. So our aim with this project is to improve the information in financial statements about the financial instruments that a company issues. And this month we looked at two topics on this project. So firstly, we spoke about the potential refinements that could be made to the disclosure proposals that were explored in the 2018 discussion paper for FICE. And we talked about possible changes to the disclosures about the priority on liquidation, potential dilution from financial instruments, and the terms and conditions on financial instruments, taking into account the feedback that we got on that discussion paper. The second thing we discussed was some additional outreach that we've been undertaking relating to perpetual instruments that are currently classified as equity under IAS 32 that would have had their classification changed if you were applied the proposals in the discussion paper. And at this meeting this month, the board decided that rather than proposing a change in the classification of these instruments, we'd look at developing some new presentation and disclosure requirements. And basically, we want to make sure that the information provided about the characteristics of these instruments are explained so that it's clear that they're different to sort of simple equity instruments, and in particular to highlight the fact that usually in normal circumstances, these instruments actually result in payments being made by the issuer that look pretty debt-like, so they're not normal equity instruments. And we're going to continue these discussions on the project at our future board meetings.
Thanks, Sue. Hans, the next topic under discussion was extractive activities. Can you fill us in on the developments with this project, please?
Yes. Extractive activities like exploring for or producing natural resources such as minerals, oil and gas are globally very important. With particular significance in certain countries. Just thinking, for example, about Saudi Arabia, which is also an IFRS country. Currently, companies use various accounting models to report the resources and expenditures associated with such extractive activities, and that has caused some diversity in the financial information provided to investors. And at this moment, we are gathering evidence to help us decide whether we should start a project to develop proposals to replace or amend the current standard IFRS 6 exploration and evaluation of minerals resources. This is really a sort of a temporary standard developed in 2004 as an interim step that allowed these companies that were adopting IFRS standards to continue to apply some aspects of their existing accounting policies for exploration and evaluation expenditures. Now, the board has previously discussed findings from research on accounting policies developed by companies that apply IFRS 6, and at this meeting, we held our final educational session on extractive activities. And the staff presented an explanation of extractive activities in the mineral and oil and gas industries, together with some of the common accounting challenges that you find around the world. And the next step will be to decide whether to move this project onto the standard setting agenda, and we will do that at an upcoming meeting.
Thanks, Hans. Those who are particularly interested in extractive activities can find and follow this project under research project on our current work plan on ifrs.org. Sue, let's come back to you. The board heard an oral update from the team working on the second comprehensive review of the IFRS for SME standard. What are the developments on this project?
So as people might recall, we're carrying out our second comprehensive review of the IFRS for SME standard, which the board originally published in 2009 and we amended in 2015. So last year we published a request for information where we're seeking views on whether and how to align the IFRS for SMEs standard with the full IFRS standards. So basically we're asking for views on how much the SMEs standard should be changed to reflect changes in the full IFRS set of standards since 2015. Now, we previously decided to ask the SME implementation group to discuss feedback received on this consultation and to give us their recommendations on next steps for the project for the board to consider. So this month, the staff updated us on what was discussed at that implementation group meeting earlier this month and some of the key messages that came through, which included the fact that that group is supportive of alignment, saying that it contributes to the ongoing development of the IFRS for SMEs standard. And also they said that private equity companies that aren't publicly accountable should be able to apply the IFRS for SMEs standard. That was their view. And so they've suggested that we introduce a requirement to account for this type of investment company in the IFRS for SMEs standard. So we'll look at those issues and other next steps on this project at future meetings.
While we're on the topic of SMEs, let's look at the progress being made on an otherwise unrelated project, subsidiaries that are SMEs. Last month, the board made some important decisions on the project scope and the type of consultation. Hans, remind us of these and fill us in on what the board discussed this month.
Okay, well, so the objective of our subsidiaries that are SMEs project is to develop an IFRS standard that permits this specific type of company to apply recognition and measurement requirements of full IFRS standards, but then with reduced disclosure requirements. In other words, the proposed new standard would give subsidiaries of parent companies that prepare their financial reports using IFRS standards the option to provide simpler and less costly disclosures in their own financial statements, consistent with their status as an SME. And the proposed new standard will only apply to those subsidiaries that are not listed on a stock exchange. And those subsidiaries will also have to meet our definition of SMEs as set out in the IFRS for SME standards. Investors in this type of company are typically creditors and lenders, and their need for disclosures are different from the needs of investors in listed companies. For example, they can often get additional information from the parent company or from the bank directly. And therefore, there would be no problematic information loss if the subsidiaries provide some simpler disclosures than they do currently. And this month, we rounded up. We discussed due process steps ahead of publishing the exposure draft. And the board decided that we were satisfied that the staff have complied with the applicable steps, due process steps, and we have given them the green light to begin drafting the document. And finally, we decided on a 180-day comment period for this consultation.
Thank you, Hans. Another upcoming milestone is the commencement of the board's third agenda consultation. What was discussed at this month's meeting?
So the primary objective of the agenda consultation, which indeed we will do now for the third time, is to seek public comments on, first of all, the strategic direction and balance of the board's activities, the criteria for assessing the priority of financial reporting issues that may be added to the board's work plan, and any financial reporting issues that should be given priority in the board's work plan. We have already finalized the content of our request for information, what we call RFI, and this month the board confirmed that it is satisfied that the staff have complied with the applicable due process steps, and we gave them the go-ahead to begin drafting the RFI, and we decided on a 120-day comment period for the consultation.
Thank you, Hans. And that wraps up our discussion from the February board meeting. There are a couple of other developments from the past month that we'd like to bring your attention to. First, we recently published the final amendments to IAS1 on accounting policies and accounting estimates. And we've also published a couple of requests to academics, encouraging them to carry out research on the post-implementation reviews of IFRS 9, IFRS 15, and IFRS 16. There's plenty more information on this topic on our website, so please visit ifrs.org if you're interested in getting involved. And that brings us to the end of another episode of the IASB Update podcast. Thank you, Hans and Sue, for joining me today, and thank you to our listeners for tuning in. You'll find all past episodes of this and other podcasts on our website, on YouTube, on Spotify, and on your podcast player. If you have any comments or suggestions for the podcast itself, please email me on communications@ifrs.org. Until next time, keep well.